We all know, as we are familiar with the Word of God, that Jesus Christ, just hours before he eventually went to the cross, instituted with his band of disciples in the upper room what we now call the Lord's Supper, or communion. Certainly, this was a wonderful, wonderful ordinance that the Lord was giving to the church. And it's an ordinance that we have been commanded to keep. It's an ordinance that we are to keep until he comes. But you know, everything that God has given to us for good, Satan has a way of taking that and twisting it for evil, doesn't he? He has done that in the marriage relationship. He has done that in the home and family, twisted that. He has twisted many things in the church that first the Lord gave for good, and then Satan has twisted and warped it for his own purposes. Certainly, the Lord's table was one of those things that Satan quickly twisted and made it full of problems. In fact, it was about 25 years after Christ first gave the Lord's table here to the church that we find this writing going on in 1 Corinthians. And by that time, there had crept in a whole lot of wrong practices with the Lord's table. And that's why Paul was writing under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, to try to correct some of those wrong practices. Now, you know, right from the very beginning of the founding of the church there at Corinth, there were problems. And what kind of problems did they originally have? Well, they had a lot of factions that were taking place. In fact, if you want to turn back to chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians and look in verse 10 and following, 1 Corinthians 1:10 says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am Paul, I am of Apollos, I am Cephas, and I of Christ." And so very early, this carnality began to come into the church, and this fleshly differences and these divisions that eventually led to all kinds of problems and malice and hatred and wrong actions taking place in the church there. And we just read there were at least four groups. There were the ones who said, "I am of Paul." We'll call those the Paulites. Right? The Paulites. And they had been so infatuated with all of the glories of grace. And how many of you think grace is wonderful? But you know what they forgot? That grace, as it has worked in our lives, should bring forth fruit. And one of the first fruit is love. And they weren't practicing love. They were so infatuated with grace that they forgot to be loving. Those were the Paulites. And then we have the Apollosites. Those who were of Apollos. And they were those who love to hear eloquence. You know, just love to hear this eloquent preaching. And so any Sunday that Apollos got to preach, boy, they were there in full force. We love to hear Apollos preach. And then there were those who were the Cephites, those of Cephas, and they were the legal party of the day. They wanted everything to be done just so. And then the real spiritual ones said, oh, I'm of Christ. And so we, very early on in the church, we see all these divisions taking place. And these divisions even were carried to where? The Lord's table. When they came together to have the Lord's table, they brought these divisions right to the Lord's table. And they despised each other. And then when they came in these groups to the Lord's table. And we can read about some of the practices that were going on as we go to 1 Corinthians 11 now. And starting at verse 18, he says, well, verse 17, now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. He says, when you're gathering around the Lord's table, it should be a time that we all are building each other up. And then what's happening? It's actually making things worse. Boy, I you know, if I thought that having the Lord's table here tonight in our midst was going to make problems, you know, I'd be, well, my. We better deal with some things before we have the Lord's table then. And so that's what was happening here. These parties, some of them very wealthy parties, were coming decked out in all their finery and their gold. And then they began having these love feasts before the Lord's table. And it's interesting, they would call it a love feast when they were all like this with each other fighting. But they would have this love feast. And what do you think the rich group was doing? Bringing all this wonderful food and wonderful wine and all things that are expensive, but they weren't sharing. And the group that didn't have much were off in one corner eating their crust of bread. And so there was all kinds of, let's continue reading about it. It says, verse 18, for first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, in one place, this is not to eat the Lord's supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper. And one is hungry, and another is drunk. They were even having such a love feast that some of them were getting drunk at the love feast. It says, what? Have ye not houses to eat and drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. And so, boy, this is kind of tough stuff here when he's writing to these believers and he's actually scolding them, isn't he? He's saying, this is wrong when you come to the Lord's table and you bring these divisions that are among you to the Lord's table and you're despising each other and jealousy is probably there and all kinds of problems are taking place concerning and around the Lord's table. This is a sad and dark picture. And so to correct some of these disorders, we have this wonderful passage in front of us, verse 23, clear to the end of the chapter, where Paul is correcting some of these problems that are taking place in the church there. And again, let's read some of this. For I have received, verse 23, of the Lord, that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye drink or eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation, literally judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that he may not come together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. And so they were failing to observe the solemnity of the Lord's table. They were eating and drinking ahead of time. They were not meeting even the requirements of the Lord's table to examine themselves. And because of that, what was happening? Many were sick among them, and some even were sleeping. What does that mean? They had died. That the Lord had so worked that they now had passed away. But over and over we have at the end of verse 24 and at the end of and in verse 25 you have this phrase, this do. And so he's giving us some proper things, and if somebody says, let's change it more to how we would say it, do this. What is it when we tell someone to do this? That's a commandment. When we say to our children, do this, it's a commandment. And so what we have before us in the Lord's table, number one, is a divine commandment. I maybe have told you this before, but when I was a youth pastor up in Brantford, Ontario, Canada, they didn't have the Lord's table quite as often. They didn't have it monthly. If I remember right, they had it bi-monthly. And again, the local church has the freedom to do it however often they have decided to do it. You know, some churches do it every Sunday, and that's their prerogative if they want to do it. But up there, we did it every other Sunday, or every other month. And I had a large youth group there in Canada. We had such a large youth group that we had to rent the local high school, which was across the street from to use their facility for our high school Sunday school classes and so forth. The Lord was really blessing and working in the youth group. But you know what broke my heart? And I decided never to do this in my ministry. They really had a tack-on service for the Lord's Supper. So they would have their regular Sunday morning service, and then the Lord's Supper was taking place after that. And the song leader would get up and say, during that last hymn, in a few moments we're going to have the Lord's Supper. Those of you who are not be participating in the Lord's Supper may leave at this time. And you know what used to break my heart? 75-80% of my teens would leave. Wouldn't stay for the Lord's Supper. Is the Lord's Supper for the believer optional? When it says, this do, this is not optional. It's a divine commandment to participate in the Lord's table. And so these believers at Corinth needed to be reminded that this is a divine commandment. You're supposed to do this, but not only is it something they had to observe, but it's also a very very blessed privilege. Whose table is this? We call it the table of the Lord. Do you know what a privilege it is to sit down at the table of the Lord? I don't know who has been the most important person that you've ever sat at a meal with. I've never been invited to sit down at the table with Donald Trump. He hasn't invited me to dinner, you know. When I was a student at Maranatha, there was a private presidential dining room where Dr. Cederholm would have dinner often and have guests and so forth. And he had a pattern of having some of the students on a rotation basis come and sit in the presidential dining room and eat dinner with him. Boy, I thought I was pretty special when I got invited to go and eat with the president of the college, you know. But that pales in comparison to what? We are invited to sit at the Lord's table tonight. What a privilege. So not only is it a commandment, it's a tremendous privilege. And shame on us if we've been invited to partake of the Lord's table and I don't think I'll do it tonight. What a privilege it is to sit around the Lord's table. He's the master. He's the host. It's his table that we are gathering around. And it's almost an insult to God if we refuse to gather around his table at his invitation. But it's also a necessary memorial. This do in what? Remembrance of me. So it's a divine command. It's a wonderful privilege. And it's a necessary memorial because we forget. We forget. It wasn't too many weeks ago that all of a sudden my wife and I said, oh, it's one of our kids' anniversary. And we had to scrounge around and quickly get a card ready and get some things ready to send. We almost forgot. I'm sure that none of you have ever forgotten anything recently, you know, but forgetting. We so often forget that we have to have this reminder. Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And so, what a wonderful, wonderful privilege we have. And let's not be guilty of, in our own lives, abusing the Lord's table. That's what the Corinthian believers are doing. Now, we're not guilty of that same thing, certainly. We don't have those factions going on. We don't have those divisions going on. We don't have the rich eating and the poor not. We don't have that kind of a situation going on in our midst. But since Satan loves to distort everything, we could have some other problems going on. And let's not allow Satan to in any way distort this wonderful Lord's table that he has given for us as a memorial. Invited to his table to partake of these elements that represent his shed blood and his broken body. Let's obey the command and let's thank him for the wonderful privilege tonight.